You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Today on The Cool Games, we are discussing all the wild transfer news happening in NWSL, happening in MLS. Mark McKenzie, Mallory Pugh, all these trades, and Matarrita going to FC Cincinnati.
That's right. Plus, we're talking about who has better youngsters, France or USA, and it's tighter than you think. We look back over 2020, and we talk about how messy 2020 was and how messy MLS about to be, if you know what I'm saying. That and more today on The Cool Again!
What's up, guys? Landon Donovan here, and I got to kick it with the Cooligans today. Keep following, keep listening, keep watching. See you guys soon.
Yeah, baby! 2020's almost over!
Yep, and things are going to be better immediately. That's how it works.
Right? It's what you promised.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another podcast exclusive episode of The Cooligans.
That's it. No TV show. We don't need it. You know what? We got you guys. That's all that matters.
So hello. My name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
All right. We are your favorite stand-up comedians that host the funniest soccer show that has ever existed.
Yay, yay. We also happen to be the gulliest, but you already know that. We've been saying it for how many years now? You should know
Should I know that? Or are you telling the listener that they should know that?
No, not you. I mean, of course. Well, actually, you know what? You should know it too, because you're here every week. You're like one of the best listeners, Christian.
Someone did ask, when did we start saying the word gully? What is gully? Like, it happens from time to time when we have a newer listener that hasn't been with us for years.
We were at
years.
The radio station already, weren't we?
We were. This is definitely when we were still recording from your apartment.
You think so?
Yes, 100%. It was, I was actually looking.
Career Rant started at the radio station.
Yes, it did. We were at, this was in 20, I was actually looking for it because someone did ask. And I was like going through episode by episode of like, it was sometime in 2017. I can find episodes where we say it, where we start the intro, but I can't find the exact one where we said the word gully and then kept going with it. I can only find when we started doing the intro. So little by little, I think we'll get it, but I can't find that exact moment.
That's crazy. You're actually listening to old episodes, trying to figure out.
If anybody is listening to this and knows, because there are people who have gone through the entire catalog, and we've done over, I mean, I'm like 350 episodes, something like that.
Even though we're at like number, what is this, 280?
This is 280
of the main Cooligans episode. Yeah,
of every Wednesday. But we've done some, you know, much more than that, like special episodes. But essentially, we've gone 280 weeks consecutively. But I can't find that exact moment where we started saying gully. I just want it, you know, for the archives, really. You know,
we should know the date 100%. Like, that's you know, it's like, hey, when's your birthday? I gotta be honest, we didn't keep track. You know, when Dad wasn't here, next thing you know, it's birthday cake.
That reminds me, like my brother's birthday is October 19th, but he was born in Dominican Republic, which is the October 19th is the date his birth certificate was issued, not the day he was actually born.
Right. So who cares?
So his birthday was at probably about like 2 weeks earlier, but we don't know. Nobody knows. You know, my brother's the Freddie Adu of of my family. You know,
I mean, let's just say it is. Okay, this is the day we celebrate. Why are you asking so many questions?
Okay, my Grant Wall's gonna do a 7-part series on my brother's birthday.
Danny Almonte shows up and he's like, I know exactly what he's going through.
But no, man, look, we're excited to be with you today. Obviously, this is the last episode of 2020. And, you know,
we did it. We somehow got through this year.
I thought, it, you know, in February, and you can listen to the show in like January and February, where we're talking about like, oh, did you hear about the news in Wuhan? Oh, yeah. Look at that craziness going on in China.
Good thing it ain't happening here.
Wow, if we only knew, you know?
And we were like, whatever, we'll be back in the studio in 2 weeks. Remember when we said that? Whatever, 2-3 weeks.
Yeah, no, so it's been, I mean, this has been the longest 2-3 weeks in my life, I'll be honest.
You know what? These 2-3 weeks have felt like 2-3 years.
So look, it's been look. You might hear the police sirens out there.
I do a little bit for sure.
Okay, it's been a crazy year. Not only, I mean, we're going to recap the year a little bit, maybe reminisce. I don't know, you know, as far as the very minuscule positives that we did have, we'll talk about soccer, what soccer looked like this year. The you know, and even for us, like there have been comedians in you know, just in our industry, that when this pandemic hit, it was like, yo, things, I don't know what I'm gonna do to feed my family. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? and even, and we mentioned this before, when we started a soccer podcast, you know, the other people in the comedy world were like, what a waste of time.
I mean, you guys, yeah, what are you doing? You know? Have you thought about, you know, origami, just something else to take your time up?
And what ended up happening was soccer, in some miraculous way, saved our lives. I mean, yeah, there's no other real way to put it. I mean, soccer, without the soccer community,
without you guys listening,
yeah, we wouldn't be able to pay our rent. We wouldn't be able to survive. We wouldn't be able to do anything.
Yeah, could you imagine if COVID would have happened a year earlier, if it was COVID-18?
Oh, boy.
I'd be living with you. You'd be single. So would I. I'd be living with you. There'd be no nutmeg. And these episodes would be very tense.
Okay. Literally, the background noise would be the landlord banging on the door.
Yeah. 100%. And I'm like, you can't. I put a mattress and a couch in front of it. Okay. So you ain't coming in.
Yeah, dude. I mean, then you'd be like, look, you pull up the eviction moratorium on your phone, like, uh-huh, you can't do this.
Yeah. He's like, that's my phone. All right, well, I found it, you know.
Yeah, so look, there's a lot there's been a lot of pain, a lot of suffering.
We've gone through
even in our personal lives, we've dealt with so much absolute grief and sadness and loss, and I know people listening I've dealt with the same exact thing. But you know, we're trying to find the positives where they are, and the fact that we were able to continue to do what we are doing, and still able to survive doing comedy and doing comedy for soccer fans is something that we don't take for granted.
No, and you know what? We also don't take for granted when people have been sending us messages like the last few weeks, just saying, you know, thanks for everything you did this year, and I can't repay you for taking my mind off of stuff. Which for us, it's such a catch. It's like a double edged sword, because we're doing this hoping you laugh, but it's because we need to make people laugh. So it's kind of dope that you're enjoying it as much as you are.
Yeah, very much so. So, look, I mean, we can get as sappy as possible.
Because, and I will.
Right? You ever heard two grown men cry on a podcast? Right? That's what was about to happen.
You sure it's about soccer? I said, homie, Chris.
Damn, why we got to do this over a Zoom call, right? Bro?
Good thing I got this cardboard cutout here.
I want to be holding you right now, fam. So look, yeah, look, you know, we're back in 2021, we'll try to, you know, continue to do what we're doing, kind of push this further, just grow. I was watching our friend Andrew Schulz, who has a Netflix special out right now. He was doing another show. He made a joke about at the beginning of the pandemic how he felt that he was going to win the pandemic, which sounds awful, right? Which sounds like somebody who's hoarding hand sanitizer, you know,
right?
I mean?
Being like, now's my time.
But there is a thing that's sort of happened this year, and we're simply just glad that we are in a position where we were something terrible happened, but the fact that what our job is was still valuable and useful to people to the point where they appreciated and it was able to take them away from like the terrible things that they may have been going through. Because at this point, if you're listening to this, there's almost no way you don't know you didn't have COVID or know someone that had it or passed away from it. Like, that's it. It's all touched us in some way. And
I highly doubt we have any anti-maskers listening, right? There's, I don't think anyone is like, what are they talking about? It's a hoax, man. I don't think anyone is listening saying that.
Imagine we really crossed all demos that way, you know? Like,
what do they like about us?
Oh man. So yeah, look, we're gonna keep pushing forward in 2021. We gotta, you know, obviously say thank you to the Gully Squad for supporting us. Again, we wouldn't be where we are without your support. So we're just going to keep this bumping in 2021. And obviously, hopefully, the vaccine hits.
Yeah.
We all good. We're back in different cities. We're doing stand-up. We're going to games. We're going to hang out with supporters groups.
We're making out with anybody who wants to make out with us when that vaccine hits.
Okay, but only if you support soccer. That's it.
I'm going to ask you to explain the offside rule. And best believe we're tonguing you down if you get it.
Okay. Yeah, and if you want to make out with masks on, we'll make out with masks on, okay? Hey, we're not trying to rush anything to
bro,
anybody.
I'm bringing a piece of plexiglass with me. We're going jail style.
Okay? You're holding the phone right through. So we can hear each other.
You
right?
know what I mean?
Our lip smacking. Oh, my goodness. So, all right. So let's talk about what's going on this off season in American soccer. There's already been a bunch of wild either moves, free agency.
It's been a hell of a damn year, man. And the end of the year is just dialed up to full 2020.
Yeah. I mean, and it's been like, it makes me feel, especially with CONCACAF Champions League, it should always be after the season now, right? It feels like
it's dessert after a great meal.
That's exactly it should be it should be like UEFA Champions League, where the Champions League runs concurrently with the regular season, and then
the final is the last thing.
I guess the thing that would suck is that the playoffs, right? You would be playing, so you should have the group stage during the regular season, break
the bracket,
the playoffs.
But you break for the final. The final happens like a month out. Because don't forget, like a lot of the, especially Mexico, has to have the ending of their apertura. So they probably want a little bit of a gap there too.
I think it could work. I think it would work a little bit better that way. Obviously, for teams that are in the playoffs, it adds a different kind of wrinkle for the MLS teams, but the apertura teams would have the same kind of issue as well. I would be for it. There was just something. It felt like, oh, MLS Cup is over, and then like boom, we're already getting started. It's like, all right, this is like this other thing.
Champions League takes a big break too. I mean, I don't understand why we can't.
That's right. It takes like a 2 month break from the group stage to the knockout round. So look, I'm just saying, it might work. Anyway,
I was talking to an MLS employee, like an exec of one of the teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say who.
You know John I mean? Barber.
Maybe. Have you ever heard of a Bob Nashville Sporting Soccer Club? It's a real guy. I didn't know it was named after a person. Shouts to Nashville. Stay strong, everybody out there. Whatchamacallit. No, I was talking to him, and they were basically just reiterating the fact that Champions League was wild. And, you know, he or she was sort of lamenting about the fact that it's not made as big a deal as UEFA Champions League is in Europe. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's a little different. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. UEFA Champions League has like an anthem, you know, and all that. Yeah, CONCACAF Champions League sometimes doesn't have locker rooms. You know what I mean? It's a little different. Yeah. But like in that conversation, I realized that's kind of what makes it great. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but it still needs to be more popular, right?
I think there's... And this is with all soccer, but I think there's a higher, I mean, it's already as popular as it can be in the Latin American countries that take part in it, right?
Yeah, yeah, they really care about it.
The bigger potential is to make it popular here in this country.
Yeah.
And so it, and more MLS clubs take it more seriously and promote it more, the bigger it will be overall.
Well, I think that's the job. MLS does their best to promote it. I think they're doing everything they can.
I mean, it's not their entity, so they're not, you know.
Yeah. I think it's U.S. soccer's responsibility to get more people aware of the Champions League. Like, the main thing is when your club is playing your Champions League, yo, your Twitter is popping for you. In your timeline, everybody's having a great time. But if your team is not there, then you either you don't even know that there might be a game. You may, you know, what should happen, I mean, and I know MLS clubs hate this when they have to promote a playoff game or an MLS Cup final in a game that they're not in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, the other clubs are like, oh, they find some silly joke to make out of, like, well, they told us to post this. We're just doing our job.
Right, right, right. I'm here just so I don't get fined. Which, at the end of the day, it's like, who cares? Do it.
Yeah,
that's
actually
funnier, you know?
And so it might be useful if the clubs themselves could promote the other. I mean, again, this will drive teams like fan bases crazy, but I'm just saying, I'm just, you know, brainstorming here of like finding other ways to get if your team is not involved,
right?
You know, give a reason to watch the team.
I can't imagine Portland going all in on promoting Seattle's Champions League.
Watch Seattle take on Olympia. Yeah. We're just fans of the league today. Yeah,
we're just hoping somebody wins.
Okay. So a couple things. Let's talk about, you know, this happened just a couple moments ago. Let's start with Philadelphia Union. Mark McKenzie
announced that
he sold. He's going to be going to Genk. And this is Belgium. Where is he going?
Oh, yeah.
Genk is a Belgium.
It's called Genk, dude. You tell me. It's either that or he's being traded to a strain of weed. You know I got that Genk, my dude.
Okay. you gotta make that noise after you say Genk all the time.
Yeah, he's going to Genk.
That's a good sound effect for.
Thank you, dude.
You're like the dude from Police Academy.
Yes, I'm here to make noises on the podcast. I am an 808 machine. It's more of an ASMR podcast now. Sock ain't hitting like it used to.
But no, he's getting Philadelphia Union will be getting. So the deal is suggested in the region of $6 million plus performance based incentives. This was reported by the Philadelphia Inquirer's Jonathan Tannenwald, and we all knew he was gonna go, especially after Brendan Aaronson.
And they had made offers of around $4 million that the owners turned down. So
yeah,
you know, it was just the time whether they would match the number that they wanted.
Look, Philadelphia Union wants a Porter Shield. Mark McKenzie, on top of that, I think, you know, with all the buzz, all the transfer rumors surrounding him, he chose a great time. Especially for the Philadelphia Union to, like, I think he scored 2 goals, had a great, just defensively.
Homie had a contract year.
Yeah, he was like, all right. Look, he told the Philadelphia Union, he's like, I'm going to get you paid. Yeah, okay? Yeah.
Watch what I do. We both about to make ends right.
and he had an absolutely great year. You know, I voted for him for Defender of the Year.
As did I.
And you know, so, you know, he
right
did well.
Behind Breck Shea for me.
Okay, yeah, but, you know, because you watch the league, right? You people don't really, but you do. Right?
I pay attention. I see between the lines, you know what I mean?
So, huge. Philadelphia Union are in a have really turned things around as far as like. Look, just kind of disappointing years from not making the playoffs. There's a lot kind of at stake when it comes to and when we talk about like Jim Curtin and defensive like just philosophies on how the game should be played. Right, that's why you hire any particular coach. But there's another thing that happens where, you know, for a team like Philadelphia Union, which didn't really want to spend a lot of money. The fact that they believed in Jim Curtin, really focused on this homegrown philosophy and bringing up players through their academy, their owner is also paying attention to, well, how much is this coach making me, right? It's almost like a salesman, right? Mm-hmm. So from a business perspective, the owner has to have even more Was it Jay Sugarman, right? Has to have even more
faith. He wants that sugar, man.
Give me that sweet stuff, baby. You
know, I'm trying to get paid. I need to wet my beak a little bit. You know what I mean?
Okay, perfect. Just name for like a billionaire, right?
It's perfect. Yeah.
So, but the fact that that not only are they playing well, but they're also bringing in money. Mm-hmm. It has to put.
But that's their system, right? Because they're like, look, yeah, we ain't gonna go and spend it. We're going to develop our youth so that we make the money. Yeah. And then what you going to do with that money? He's like, uh-huh. And like, well, that doesn't really answer the question. What are you going to do with the money? And he's like, yep.
Yeah, yeah. What, excuse me, Mr. Sugarman. Why can't you stop licking your lips?
Yeah. Is that a, what's that noise? Is that a machine, a cash accounting machine? Maybe, you know.
And why do you want to be called LL Cool J Sugarman?
Yeah. Also, you want us to spell it sugar, comma, space, man now?
Okay. I didn't realize you were getting into dance hall. All right. Sugarman.
Homie, I pimp cup. I haven't seen you since the early 2000s, but I gotta be honest, it works for you. Yeah.
Okay, I never seen someone hold a pimp cup and wear pleated pants. Yeah, this is interesting.
So you're eating spaghetti off of the supporter shield.
So, look, props to the Philadelphia Union. They're doing, it's good business, you know. So they, and Brendan Aaronson going to Salzburg. He got $4 million, right? I think it was the number, something around that.
But the problem is, who are they going to get to replace it? I mean, they're going to have money, right? They get to keep 100% of Brendan Aaronson because he's homegrown.
Yeah.
I don't think
Mark
McKenzie.
Mark McKenzie. He is also homegrown.
Oh,
yeah,
so
yeah,
they got money now.
Yeah, yeah. Brendan Aaronson's brother got brought up to the first team. So
I tell the uncle to put some boots on my cheek.
An Aaronson replacement, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
Look, if they are already putting out talent like this, you can imagine what's coming up behind the players that are there now.
Everybody, thank you so much for listening to the podcast. We just want to break it with a word from one of our sponsors, us and you.
That's right, Gully Squad. The last, during quarantine, huh? Gully Squad has not only become a dope soccer community, but it's becoming a vital space for my emotional well-being.
Okay? Yes, if it wasn't for them, I wouldn't have anyone to talk to a lot of the time. And also, I would not know what an apple crisp is.
Okay, yeah, we are. There's so much communication and sharing of food. It's I don't really dwell in that channel too much.
No, you're not allowed to. Your girl can see it on your face that you're looking at food.
She goes through my phone not to look for like texts from other girls. She's looking
like booty pic, booty pic, booty pic, sandwich.
Dan, what is this? How dare you betray me like this?
She's messaging me, homewrecker.
Gully Squad is obviously the Cooligans community. Of people that are fans of soccer, fans of comedy, fans of food, fans of pizza. It's an opportunity to help support the content that we put out, help us put out more content that we can deliver to the masses, and also get some exclusive content for yourself. So there's a bunch of really cool things going on in there. We have an amazing Slack channel that may or may not exist. Who knows?
Hey, even though we just talked about it.
Exactly, but you know, it's vague. It's very vague. So you can join at any level. You can join, you can give like $5, $10, you can give more. If you give more, there's more perks involved, like you know, merch and a pin and stickers and different things like that. So it's, if you're a fan of soccer, if you're a fan of comedy, we highly recommend you joining, and it definitely helps the show grow, so we can do a bunch of other fun things, you know, in 2021, when we can finally travel, we can be able to go do live shows and do live events and do a lot of other things like that. So
plus, you get some really exclusive stuff, like when we release the pins, you get a pin for joining.
That's right.
When we release the pop socket, you got a pop socket for joining, stuff like that. So there's a lot of really good exclusive stuff. It's not just being a part of the Slack channel that may or may not exist, but trust me, that's a dope part of it.
Very much so. So go to soccercooligans.com and click on the Join Gully Squad button now. Another interesting one, I believe... Brian Reynolds, right, from FC Dallas.
Is that confirmed? Did that actually
happen?
It's
not confirmed, but the rumor I'm also hearing is that Juve wants him.
Bruh.
For over $9 million.
FC now. Dallas is just sending people to Juve left and right.
So this would be pretty crazy. That there's been a lot of rumors of what team he might go to, and it's wild given he's only played like a couple games. I don't know exactly how it works with like just having an eye for talent and then also waiting till players have a bunch of experience. You know what I mean? Like,
well, is it an eye for talent or is it just a wealth of kids in Texas? You know what I mean? Clearly they're good at developing players. That's not the issue, but are they at an advantage over a smaller market?
Yeah. The, Brian Reynolds to Juve for 10 million. Like, so these are rumors again. I'm hearing, Brian Reynolds to Juve for 10 million, would just be nuts. It's interesting because he's a good player. I think I've only really watched maybe about two or three FC Dallas games, and I haven't necessarily, maybe my eye for the game is not as insightful as others.
Right.
I watch him. I'm like, he's definitely, he holds his own, and he clearly is a young guy. And for him to be to be that comfortable.
This is why you and I are not scouts. We can't look at a kid and go, this kid's going to be a star. We're like, I don't know. He looked good, though.
he looked all right. Okay.
Pass him the ball. I don't know what to tell you.
What's his FIFA card like? You know, it's not that great. I think he should just stay at this team. You know what? Send him back to the academy. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
Honestly, you want to know if he's good or not? Who's he know? Who's in your contact list? Who you DMing? You know what I mean? And then I'll tell you know?
So that would be another huge, another rumor I heard was – apparently, Weston McKennie is getting interest. All right, he's obviously on loan to Juve, but he's getting interest from Tottenham Hotspur.
Yeah, please don't do it to me. Huh? You already did it with Dempsey. You hear me? Please don't do it to me.
So I think at the end of his loan, there might be a couple. I don't know if Juve has the first option to buy. I don't know the details of the deal, but
I'm pretty sure where Schalke is. They're like, please buy the contract of Weston McKennie.
Okay, because we're going to be in two Bundesliga real soon. Yeah. He's not going to want to come back.
No, we need that money.
A lot of big, this is a fun time. It's obviously silly season for during the off season.
Speaking of which, there was a Rising Ballers, which is like this group of folks out of England who kids that maybe grew up in a rough situation and maybe got booted out of soccer academies because of mistakes they made when they were younger, or they just simply got dropped out of soccer. This is like a place for them to go. It's a bit of a YouTube channel, but they also develop you back to try to get professional contracts, which is really cool. Shouts to Rising Ballers out in England. But they put this, so they're doing this whole bracket system of who's got the best young players. Mm-hmm. And right now, USA has made it to the semifinals, and they're up against France. So I don't know Hannibal, MJ. If you saw his picture, you know who he is. But they have Guendouzi. They have Upamecano from RB Leipzig. They got Moussa Dembele. They got Saliba. They got Camavinga. Mbappe. They got this guy named...
Diaby.
He's not in there, but they got Ryan Cherki, who I believe plays in France, and Auchichi, who's the goalkeeper, I believe. I'm not sure about that. But those are like two or three players I don't know of offhand. But they're up against Timothy Weah, Tyler Adams, Christian Pulisic, Conrad De La Fuente, Sergio Dest. Ledesma's in there, Gio Reyna, Yunus Musa, and who's this other kid? I can't remember who goes by.
Chris Richards.
So looking at that, just at that, in other words, if you comment, one comment is a win, is a vote. And obviously, because of the power of U.S. social media, U.S. Mm-hmm. is winning at the moment. But if it wasn't for Mbappe, this is an easy win for U.S., no? Think about it. Sergio Dest and Conrad De La Fuente, They're at Barca. Tyler Adams playing in the Champions League. Timo Weah looking good again. Pulisic, 73 million.
Yeah, I would say that the like you remove Mbappe from here, the bigger players like or the American players that are playing at bigger you know, more storied clubs, we have players playing in better clubs than this group of French players. Guendouzi is in Hertha Berlin.
Yeah, Saliba can't even get on the field for Arsenal.
Yeah,
but I don't
some
know
of these
the
guys are in Ligue 1.
Upamecano plays with Tyler Adams, so they cancel each other out. But yeah, Mbappe, Camavinga is incredible too. I'm not taking it away.
Yeah.
But honestly, I think it's a win for US. I think the median.
It's close.
It is
like
close.
A little bit.
It is close. Again, if Mbappe wasn't there, easy win for the U.S. With it's Mbappe, the median sticks with it, stays with U.S. If we say who out of these has the best players, Mbappe without a question. But that's not the question. Is who has the best group of youngsters right now?
Yeah, I mean, look, just Pulisic, Gio Reyna, and Dest alone. And you can even maybe Yunus Musah a little bit too. But those three, Conrad De La Fuente hasn't gotten that many minutes with Barca, but Sergiño Dest is like a part of
Barca.
Ronald Koeman's plans. Yeah, no, and he's like part of the plans. And he's I just
also
read,
Weston McKennie's not even in this.
That is true.
Weston McKennie's not even in there.
I did see that that Sergiño Dest. I read that he is the second. He's like the second or third leading dribbler for most dribbles at Barcelona, which is unreal to hear an American player.
Yeah.
Is like, he's literally behind Messi and whoever else touches the ball.
Yeah. Another big name. yeah. Another non-American.
So, this is an interesting, but the fact that we can even have this debate and it's like difficult to answer says a lot about where the U.S. men's national team,
which to me
really
is the point. That's the point right there is go back 2 years ago, the U.S. not even qualifying for the World Cup. And you and I are sitting here saying, and on these microphones, much cheaper microphones, but on these microphones saying, yo, this is it. The U.S. is done, yada, yada, yada. And thank God they've been developing these incredible players. And thank God that these folks have parents who knew how to play soccer and taught them how to play well in the case of Pulisic, Timothy Weah, and Gio Reyna. But also just incredible development that some of these players have gotten. And these are all European-based players.
Yeah.
And only two of them are like, you know, the dual national where we're like, are they even really like, would they qualify as American if it wasn't for that rule? No, that's only two of these players.
Well, Yunus Musah, it'd be interesting. I mean, he still hasn't been capped. But if he's in the group, look, the team not only is, does it get. U.S. men's national team fans kind of happy and just excited, but they'll be good. They'll be really good. I mean, like, without, you know, just hoping and, you know, the American way and play with a lot of heart because, you know, the other teams are tactically and technically always better than us. This will be like, no, we could hold our own on any given day with some of these, you know, these top nations in the world.
Doesn't that give you so much more confidence heading into international competitions? The fact that we're competing with the youngsters of the World Cup winners, even if we were to lose, that's a squeaker. And it's literally only because of Mbappe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. So hopefully some hope, is coming in 2021. The other thing I wanted to talk about real quick and at least some NWSL news, this was pretty huge. Mallory Pugh, who's been on our show, check out our episode with her, U.S. Women's National Team World Cup winner. She has been traded from Sky Blue to the Chicago Red Stars in a surprising move, I think, because it was a big deal. She got traded to Sky Blue during the NWSL draft, And, you know, we had Elise LaHue on our show talking about it and all the moves that, that were made. But apparently, for the I don't know the exact reasons, but it did not work out. Maybe she didn't want to live in New Jersey. Not sure.
It didn't come across as she was unhappy.
No, but she did. So did she not? I know she was dealing with an injury. Did she not play at all for Sky Blue?
I don't think she played in the. I know she didn't play in the Challenge Cup.
She did not play in that because she opted out, I believe.
Right.
Or I don't know if she was injured, but she did not play. And
but she was in Atlanta, and I don't think she ever went to New Jersey, you know? I think she stayed in Atlanta. Yeah, I think she stayed in Atlanta.
Okay. I don't know the details, but look, it didn't work out. It's unfortunate. Obviously,
yeah, she played zero appearances for Sky Blue.
Yeah, she went from the Washington Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I hope she kind of finds, she's super young, right? She didn't go to college. She opted out. She got drafted. I mean, she's
23. I mean, but missing a season at this time is rough.
Yeah, she's a supreme talent. And, you know, I hope it with the Red Stars, I don't see how it can't work out. I think the Red Stars had issues after Sam Kerr left to Chelsea. The Red Stars had issues scoring goals. And you know, defensively, I think they did what they needed to do, especially to get to the final of the Challenge Cup. But we saw them at the NWSL final against the Courage. And they got absolutely smacked. And in the Challenge Cup, they couldn't really figure anything out in the final either. So this will definitely help with that. She's obviously joining Julie Ertz, Alyssa Nair, Morgan Gautrot, or Morgan Bryan, if you remember from the World Cup as well, and Tina Davidson. So
she's got a hell of a team. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a strong team. I'm wondering what's going to happen with the Sky Blue, though, because they have Carly Lloyd, but she's getting older. Mallory Pugh was supposed to be the young forward, young attacking option, and they got to figure something out because the rebuild for Sky Blue has been incredible. Moving to Rebel Arena and having that sense of, like, it felt like 2020 really sucked for a lot of NWSL teams in particular because it was supposed to be this, like, you know, after the World Cup and
right.
The new season, and we're going to do so much. You know, we were at the NWSL draft in January, and it felt like, yo, this is going to be the year. And good things did happen as far as, like, viewership.
They've definitely bubbled, right? Like, yeah. More people are paying attention to it. It's, you know, more people are even, just when people are saying, like, shouts to the NBA for being the first to do a bubble, and everyone's like, you know, it's not even just saying, like, yo, MLS was here. People are like, yo, NWSL did it first. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
So people aren't giving them credit and all credit that they deserve. And it does feel like there is a post-World Cup bump, even though, you know, COVID took that away a little bit without the in-person appearances. But at the end of the day, it does seem like, you know, progress is made. You just feel bad for Sky Blue because things were looking so good after that horrific draft where players didn't want to play and all the news was negative, and they seemed like they worked their way out of that. And now you have a big name player never making an appearance. You know, there's a negative feeling to it, this trade, when there probably shouldn't be. Maybe, you know, you never know. The problem is with NWSL too. It's not like you could go out into the international market. Like, if you're a big name, you're probably already here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see the what happens with some of the players that are in Europe playing now. You know, whether they choose to come back to NWSL. I know Alex Morgan, she's done playing at Tottenham. She's going back most likely to the Orlando Pride. So who knows? I mean, there could be a lot of moves left, and you can imagine that some players are still going to stay and play another season, probably in England.
I wouldn't be surprised, especially if you have players that maybe are thinking about coming back and wanting to play for Angel City. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You stay out there another season or two, you know what I mean? And put yourself in a position to come back to that team as opposed to have to, like, figure out how to be traded or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, best of luck to Mallory Pugh. Yeah, it would have been cool to see her play for Sky Blue.
Yeah. You know, someone in Cloud Nine had a chant for her, and they're like, damn it.
I can't even use it. Yeah. Right. I'm going to have to reword it to be negative about Mallory Pugh. This is going to be challenging.
No, we hate you. We hate you. We hate you. And everywhere you go, we don't want to follow. Don't want to follow.
Okay, I think it works.
I don't know. You know, it feels like maybe I'm forcing it, but it feels good. It feels good to just get it off my chest.
Okay, a couple other bit of moves. I mean, this was another huge one. Last week we talked about Alex Ring of NYCFC going, and then also it was announced Brad Stuver, whose contract was not picked up by NYCFC, he's also gone to Austin FC.
Right. Big loss in the locker room, but you know, he was the third string keeper. I think he really only played in the US Open Cup. But
second string.
Was he keeper. Second string? Okay, second yeah. string. But yeah, yeah, I mean, you know, you got Sean Johnson in front of you, who's a bit of an Iron Man. That guy doesn't really get injured too often, so tough to play behind him. But everyone loved him. Everyone at the club loved him. We've had great opportunities, great times chatting with him. He's just a great dude all around. So I wish for him the best in Austin. But the list of free agents, I mean, you know.
Well, before that, so NYCFC did make another huge move.
That's right.
they sent
Matarrita.
Ronald Matarrita, the Costa Rican, to FC Cincinnati for $600,000 in allocation money.
Yo, what are we doing with all this allocation money?
We got so much
allocation. At this point, we got 1.8, right?
Give or take. It's a lot. So now there has to be...
Hold on, I'm getting a phone call from Sugar Man, and he said, no. He's like, oh, you need something to do with that money, baby?
So look, for people who are, let's talk to the FC Cincinnati fans a little bit. Maybe they don't watch too much NYCFC. Maybe they haven't seen Matarrita play too much, or you've seen him dominating your team from time to time.
Already going to have the most swag on the team.
Matarrita is a absolutely very skilled, very technically skilled. He's a left back.
Yeah, but he is one of those players that he reminds me a lot of, like Bellerin a little bit, where it's like he's clearly not a forward, maybe not really a midfielder. He's a more defensive midfielder that likes to get forward. And he's a more attacking defender that likes to get forward. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He plays somewhere in between the two. He's not one or the other.
He's in a 3-5-2. That's his position right there on the left. That's exactly what he's best at. This is why I think NYCFC were okay with letting him go, is because he has been a bit of a defensive liability in huge moments when they needed him to defend well. He has not done that, and I would say for the most part he is incredibly reliable. 95% of the time he's reliable, but those 5%, he will let you down and you will never be able to forget
it's gonna hurt. It's gonna hurt, and he's a great dude from all accounts. Everyone's gonna miss him. He's a great dude. So FC Cincinnati, you got yourselves a fun player. For sure. Yeah. But there will be moments where he frustrates you, you know?
Yeah.
I remember when he first came to NYCFC, the big thing was like, oh, Dortmund is interested in him. And then there were rumors that Barca wanted him, you know? So maybe this is an opportunity for him to like sort of develop back to that point, you know?
Yeah, look, I think this year, I think this year has been really good for him. He's been really good. NYCFC had a rough beginning of the season, and even at the after the restart from the MLS's back tournament, I think he really stepped up, and he improved a lot. He is such a skilled midfielder. Like, he's a defender, but he's like, he has the technical ability of a midfielder, and he has a great left foot, and he puts passes and crosses in just a great spot. He has a couple assists this season.
The problem is sometimes he plays midfielder like a defender and defends like a midfielder.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
That is the issue. So
when he does that swap-a-roo, you're like, nah, not right now.
Look, and the main one is the playoff game against Toronto at the end of 2019. that he really he fouled Richie Larea in the box, and really just the game should have gone probably to extra time, and it was just a really dumb foul that even Maxi Morales was like, as soon as the foul happened, he's like, bro, what are you doing? Why did you do that?
Ooh, yes.
He was, so he's, look, he's made a couple high profile mistakes, but again, he's been with NYCFC for what, 5 seasons?
Since 2016.
Great player in FC Cincinnati. If they can like sort out and figure out, you know, a couple issues that they have, I think he's going to be a good fit. Now, what does NYCFC do to replace a player like this? Now we're starting to think, do they have younger players that can come up? And
well, that was that to your point. Remember, we're talking about Ring. There's people there that we already know, James Sands. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This one, we're like, hold up. We ain't seen nobody in this position.
Because there are, I'm trying to think of, because Joe Scally would probably be the first person that comes to mind, but he's going to Borussia Mönchengladbach.
Yeah, he's gone.
He's gone. So is there another academy kid that can play that position? Like the strength.
Do we have an Aronson brother that we can just throw in?
Because NYCFC seems to develop great midfielders. Justin Hawk, you know, obviously James Sands. There's a couple other guys.
Maybe Hawk is going to be developed more of as a left back.
It's possible. It's possible.
He certainly could be a winger.
I don't know if he could be a winger. I mean, he pretty much plays.
Oh, he's tall and fast. What do you mean?
No. But I'm saying the position that he pretty much plays now is kind of defensive mid, or just like that a part of the one of the three in the midfield.
Right.
So it might be asking him a lot to defend and like. You know, like a fullback. I could be wrong. I'm just saying.
First, folks. Christian doesn't think he got it. You know, this is just
maybe
why
this is the motivation that he needs.
We're good eyes of talent. You know.
Yeah. You know. We didn't talk to him. We met Justin Hawk a bunch of times, but we didn't. We did that NYCFC event where he called in and he got to talk to fans and stuff like that.
Yeah, so, it was dope.
So hopefully we didn't do an episode of NYCFC at home with him, but hopefully maybe next season. Who knows? But huge move, huge move for NYCFC. I'm fascinated to see what the roster is going to look like. But this is going to be a completely different team.
Some of the fans think it's a rebuild. I don't think so. I think there's enough. I don't really think there is much of a rebuild in MLS.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a Montreal fan, you're listening. If you're a Vancouver fan and you're listening, you're punching the air. You know what I mean? But I sometimes forget Vancouver's in the league. But I think in this situation, you've got enough allocation money where you can and probably need to bring one, even a big MLS name. Doesn't have to be an international superstar.
Okay, so the other thing, I almost forgot to talk about this, but Cristian Pavón, the news reported out of Argentina that he has been notified that he will be going back to Boca Juniors, and he will not be re-signing with the LA Galaxy.
Yeah.
So people heard that. I saw it online, and I'm like, what is going on? There's no way that the LA Galaxy are not doing everything they possibly can to keep Cristian Pavón, who was their best player.
It was an odd contract to begin with, right? Because it was like a loan with a promise to buy later. But like,
yeah,
it's like, no, I guarantee you we're going to buy. We just, because of the rules, we have to loan you first.
Yeah, it was like, we'll give you, you know, $36 this year.
Right.
But next year.
You hold that. You know, you hold those 220s. I need you to hand me 4 singles.
And then next year, we'll give you the $12 million.
Also, we're going to give you a loan of $11 million right now. You're going to have to pay it back, you know.
Okay, wink, wink.
You know, a payment of a penny a month is going to take you a while. But next year, we're going to give you a lot of money. And don't worry about it.
So that was the initial reports, and the LA Galaxy fans lost their minds because they were like, what in the world are we were really bad with him. What could possibly be the plan for 2021?
Especially keeping Chicharito, which doesn't look like it's really worked out too well, and getting rid of Pavon is not... That's like getting rid of the leg that doesn't have the issues. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. They amputated the leg without the ACL injury. Right, you know what right, I mean?
Right. No. I needed that one. Did you throw
that's
it out?
A good one.
Well, go to Argentina and get it back.
So that was the initial report, and now we had an update from Tom Boger of MLSsoccer.com, the homie Tom Boger, who I've played the mustache.
Yeah, man.
Some people know him as, but he I played soccer with him. He's great. He says discussions between the LA Galaxy and Boca Juniors over a deal for Christian Pavon are still ongoing per source. Saga not done yet. But it says Pavon's loan ends in a few days, and his stats are 13 games, 13 goals, 15 assists in 33 games in MLS. Had a $20 million purchase option that the Galaxy aimed to negotiate down. So that seems to be the issue. They don't want to pay the 20 mil, but he's a $20 million player. I don't know what else to really tell you. He's not the issue with the LA Galaxy.
No, but I do think it hasn't worked out the way he would have hoped. They've struggled. Yeah. You know, he came here when Zlatan was here. You know, it hasn't exactly worked out the way he would have hoped. And it kind of had a rough go of it. I mean, I'm not, especially with Guillermo Barros Schelotto being let go. You got to think like, he probably doesn't really want to stick around and see what Greg Vanney could do.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was exactly what I was going to say next. It looks like Greg Vanney, obviously, after stepping down from Toronto FC, it looks like he's going to be going. That all the rumors suggest that we're just basically waiting for an announcement. Greg Vanney will be the head coach of the LA Galaxy for his former team. I think it'll be the best move. I mean, anything besides what was going on in LA will be better. But people are also really upset with Chris Klein, the GM, and they have a lot of issues.
There's a lot of Klein out. There's a lot of that happening online.
Yeah, there's people are frustrated. LA Galaxy are they've been successful for so long. Are the LA Galaxy the New York Knicks of Major League Soccer? Is that what we?
No, because they've won in the last 30 years. DC is probably
okay. I mean, Knicks have won once. I mean,
twice. They've...
Oh, that's right, twice.
Thank you.
The fact
and it was way before either one of us were born.
The fact that they've had so much success in their history, and it wasn't long ago, right? And to go from, you know, I was watching the Beckham Effect the other day, and to go from
tell our listeners you watch porn.
Whatever. My Beckham Effect is my favorite category. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Thank God Pornhub didn't take it away.
So, but the fact that they went from, you know, signing the biggest, you know, name in the game, especially at the time, to where they are now, it's really surreal.
I mean, but also the league is better now. You know, if you're Beckham now, you're probably not picking the LA Galaxy.
But LA Galaxy had the resources to stay at the top.
Yes.
They knew what was coming.
They should have been able to. You're 100% right. But if you're Beckham now, what is the team you pick? Because it's not LA Galaxy.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Is it LAFC? Is it Atlanta? Is it somebody else?
It's Atlanta. Maybe Minnesota. Maybe like these teams with that have a lot of like, you know, Sounders, Timbers, like the teams that have like the support and the success. That to me is like that. Those are the teams you want to go.
Or do you say fuck the game and you go to Vancouver? You know what I mean?
Hey, I'm about to run Canada.
I'm gonna save your asses.
So they, but obviously, big news. And the last thing I wanted to talk about real quick was the news about Lionel Messi.
He says his plan to play in America. It was always his dream, I mean. And guess what? Let me tell you something. Me and Messi have a similar dream, okay?
Okay. Who knew we had so much in common?
You know, we're practically related.
Messi did another interview. Who did he do the interview with? Was it Argentinian media or in Spain? I don't remember.
I have no idea.
But he basically... they pulled so many quotes from this. But the interesting ones outside of the fact that he has interest in playing in the United States, he said that, which is already all right. Look, you wanna.
I love how you say he said that like an American. Like, I'm not making this up.
Because it came out of his mouth. Uh-huh. Okay?
We didn't even have to pay him to say it, and we would have.
Okay, just for the engagement and the clicks.
Oh my God!
Totally, it's a worthy investment.
Do you want to put it on your account or ours? It doesn't matter.
But the interesting thing to me was that it really shed more light about what's going on in Barcelona and what
dude, he's free. He's a free transfer in. When people are listening to this, 2 days.
Yeah, so I thought he had to wait till the end of the year, but I guess
you can start to negotiate that in January.
Right.
Bruh, this is the buckle your seatbelts, folks.
We're about to have a good time. You know,
Jay Sugarman, this is your moment.
So it's the fact that he mentioned MLS. Wild, and interest in playing there, insane. But he really shed more light on the fact that he said it again. He was like, I was lied to repeatedly by Bartomeu. He said that
who's
I was
gone.
Yeah, so he's like just telling a report. He's like
he's airing it out.
He lied. He lied to me.
Yeah. Oh, y'all want the tea? He pulled an Iggy Azalea on him.
He's just been the level of honesty is you're never this honest if you have any plans on continuing this relationship. You know what I mean?
Also, he's what, 34 now? Like, you know, this is the end of his. This is his last big contract. So he's like, whatever. Now I get to be an asshole. You know, it's like you know how old people are just mean. You know what I mean? Because, like, what are you going to say to them? They've already lived 80 years. That's him. He's an old man by his standards of sports.
You can't take nothing from me.
Right? Okay. I remember Dan Soder's old joke about how he went to an AA meeting, and there was, like, a 90-year-old man who was like, you know, oh, I'm here because I tried heroin. And he was like, yeah, now's the time to do it, you know? I'm not even mad at you. Who made you come to rehab?
That's the abuse. That's the
yeah, dude, you lived a whole life. Go for it.
So, look, and Messi is 33 years old. He's going to be 34 in June next year.
This is it. This is his big last contract. Now's the time where you air shit out. It's like, what are they going to hold over you?
Yeah.
And the whole world wants you.
Do you think he can win a Ballon d'Or in MLS? Do you think that's a possibility? Do you think any MLS player could win a Ballon d'Or in the next 20 years?
No.
Not even possible.
Maybe at the end of the 20 years if things go perfect to plan. Yeah. But like, no. No, like only because you have
but
to.
What if he puts the same numbers? What if he scores?
It wouldn't matter because he's doing
goals,
it against MLS.
Goal season. Really?
Also, yeah, and also Champions League. There's no comparable to CONCACAF Champions League, which is so much more difficult. He'll never be able to do. No, there's obviously UEFA Champions League. Is a much higher. It's kind of what you have to show you're great in Champions League as well as the club, like your domestic league, in order to get to Ballon d'Or level.
Okay, we'll see. I mean, this is if so. Basically, in the next couple of days, we could hear about an agreement that Messi will be joining some other team, and obviously,
it looks like it's gonna be PSG, but. If that doesn't happen.
Not City. You don't think it's going to be Manchester City?
Well, that's
City
the
anymore.
Thing. It looks like everything's leaning towards PSG right now. If you look at the betting lines, everyone thinks PSG's essentially a lock. But
because he's been talking about Neymar like a old flame.
He talks
about him like they will never
high
be
school sweethearts.
Another
you know
man.
Mean?
That you know, I'm like, yo, what is going on? You guys have a history. You know what I mean?
Is there
like,
something we don't know about?
Because it's 2021. You know,
yo, fam, let it out.
Live your life. Live your truth.
Damn, yo, be happy, dog.
But man, yeah. So look, it'll be interesting. I think the next, it's pretty much looking like he is not going to be with Barcelona at the beginning of next season. We feel like we're pretty confident in saying that.
I'm kind of excited to see what he does next. I don't think it's going to be Jordan at the Wizards. I don't think it's going to be Pele at the Cosmos. I think it's going to be exciting. I think he's got like at that level, maybe 2 years left. If he goes just 2 years at City and comes to MLS for another 2-3 years, I think he'll be great. He's in great physical condition.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, he's a legend. I mean, he still hasn't looked like, is he making the same you know, 80-yard runs that he used to.
No.
But he's making like 40-yard runs.
Well, if he plays at Yankee Stadium, at max it's 40-yard run, right?
Okay. Look, you're a home plate in a heartbeat, buddy. You'll be fine.
Go around the bases, my G. You do whatever you want.
Oh, man. So, look, a lot, you know, there's 2021, it especially for the soccer world, for the Cooligans, it's still going to be very, very exciting. There's still a bunch of fun things we're going to be doing on Fubo TV.
Terrific year, but what was your favorite moment? Do you have a favorite moment of 2020?
A favorite moment just outside of any, like in just anything, in any, just with our show?
In anything with that had to do with Cooligans?
Anything with Cooligans?
I want to say it was the Costa Rica trip. Because it doesn't feel like it was 2020. It feels like it was like in 2015 at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
And I didn't want to go. I was like, why are we going? We're wasting money. You were right. I give you all the credit in the world.
It was a good decision. Yeah. I think it did two things. I think it was just like a good experience, but it was also like, I think from some, in a strange way, NYCFC were like, oh, these guys are not just total idiots.
Oh, no. I said this the other day to somebody else. I was like, I think that's the moment that solidified, at least in the minds of some of the new folks that are there that started that year. They're like, oh, these guys they're not jokes. They put their own money to come see this team play in Costa Rica. Maybe we should do something with them.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I would say and this is very much like in hindsight, but really the trip to Baltimore, where it was really the last time we got to hang out with Daryl.
And Audi Field was last year, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it makes me appreciate that time even more, because every time we did...
We went to that Mexican restaurant. We were just hanging around with them.
Yeah, they were at the show, the ISC show.
Yeah.
And everything
in that
like
Polish
that.
Room. And, you know, he was... Daryl's one of those people that would always, like, not give you notes on your comedy, but he would notice things about your performance that typically only comedians, and Taylor does the same thing, but I think it's because they were with us for so long. But he was like, when that person in the other room yelled during a song, he's like, I saw the look in your eyes. He's like, I knew you were going to say something funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you could see it. He got what we went through, and it was, it was really cool. Yeah. I'm really glad we got to spend that time with him.
Very much so. So, look, we will keep going. Oh, and just an update for the people who picked up a patch. Hello and welcome. Patches have started shipping out. We've mentioned this several times, just so people sometimes message us and they don't hear this, but whatever. If you have not listened to many of the shows before, we were just absolutely bombarded with so many orders, and it just the pre-order took a lot longer.
Right. We thought it was going to be 300. We sold five times that. So
we got so many orders. So, but everyone, thank everyone, and everyone who's asked, they completely.
It's been
understood.
Very respectful. No one's gone crazy. Yeah. But we want to make sure people know that it is coming.
Yeah, they are on the way. So thank you, everyone, for joining us in this absolutely insane year. We've tried to make the most of it. We've tried to make you laugh. We've tried to help you stay, connected to the soccer world in a different way that some other shows that are simply more journalistic. And this year has been one of the ones where, at the beginning of the pandemic, we really were in a place where we were like, we don't know what we're going to be doing. We don't know if we're going to still have jobs. We don't know if we're going to still be able to even do this. Like, are we going to have to like figure out some other ways to make money while, just to survive? Because who cares about soccer yuck yucks? You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And we have found a community that does care about soccer yuck yucks. And so we thank you. We are very, very grateful.
Yeah. And look, I mean, everyone listening has been through a lot this year, but let's look at the positives. There's a vaccine that's coming, and we got rid of the fucking Cheeto. Okay. We got rid of the horrific Cheeto in office. And if you're listening and you're a fan of the guy, I don't know why you're still listening to this, because we shit on him all the time. But like, at least that, let's look at it as a positive going into 2021. Hopefully this hell ride is over, and at least we know January 20th starts something new. And hey, there's all the messy news that's going to come. So let's just sit back and watch.
Yeah, and in 2020, the news was just messy.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So
it's a little different now.
Yeah.
So look, all we can say is Happy New Year. Try to have the happiest possible New Year in a safe environment, outdoors, masked up.
Take care of yourselves, please.
Don't catch this shit. Even if you will get better from it, don't catch it.
And if you don't believe, if you don't want to hear that, just know that one of the side effects is erectile dysfunction. Okay, so
okay, and then the ladies are like, oh no,
you know what I mean? Can only imagine. No, that's everyone who comes around you. So,
so look, yes, stay safe and have a good, new year. Hopefully, 2021 is improved, and people are safe, and people are working, and fed, and housed, and anything that you know you might be struggling with. So, everybody, thank you so much for joining us this year. A lot to look forward to in 2021. So let's keep going.
We love you guys.
With that said, my name is Christian Polanco.
I'm Alexis Guerreros.
And together, what are we?
The Cool!